Right now, though, let's talk some NBA. As promised, we are joined by a Cal State Fullerton legend. He covers the NBA for the New York Times. He has had a very busy week. We are joined once again by Mark Stein. Mark, it's great to have you back. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Really nice to talk to you. It's been quite a weekend in the NBA, so let me just jump right into this. What was your reaction, Mark, when you heard that the Timberwolves and Sixers had agreed to a deal for Jimmy Butler?
It's quite an everyday in the NBA. That's the beauty of it. But no, you know what? Look, this had to end. It had, you know, it couldn't go on anymore. It had gotten just ridiculous around the Timberwolves. I saw them about 5-6 days before the trade in LA when they played the Clippers, and it just, you know, the cloud that was hovering over this team was only growing. Everybody wasn't happy, and I think, you know, Tom Thibodeau hoped that they could play through it and they would win and be competitive with Butler, and that would mask kind of the, you know, the elephant in the room. But obviously it was going in completely the opposite direction. So I love it for Philly. There are no guarantees for the Sixers that this is going to work. But, you know, I'm a fan of big swings and being bold. And I think this is a very bold move for the Sixers. For the Wolves, you know, we have to give it time and see, maybe they will be proven right. But to me, this is a pretty disappointing end to a very sad saga. I just don't think they got enough. I think they could have gotten a much better deal from Miami had they taken what the Heat had put on the table about a month earlier. And again, maybe they're going to prove me wrong. Maybe Covington and Sarge fit in fantastically next to Wiggins and Towns. But no first-round pick, no two-way player like Josh Richardson. I think it's a very, very deflating way for this thing to end from the Minnesota perspective.
Mark Stein joining us. Mark, I mean, they certainly could have done better. They should have done better. I see it the exact same way you do. What about Philadelphia in the process? For instance, Philadelphia is off to an 8-6 start, which is a little bit underwhelming considering the step that they took last season. For instance, if they were off to a better start, do they make this deal?
Probably not. I think they're a little jittery, not just because they had a so-so start, but, you know, the top of the East has gotten stronger. The East has been everybody's punching bag for two decades, and it's still, the West is far deeper. But at the top of the East, you know, look past Boston's early struggles. You know, they still have a loaded team with tons of assets. They're only going to get better. Toronto, so far, the Kawhi gamble couldn't have gone any better, and Milwaukee is finally playing to its potential. So I think the Sixers looked around and saw all that and said, okay, Paul George didn't even look at us in free agency. We weren't able to trade for Kawhi Leonard, and if he doesn't stay in Toronto, he's probably going to the Clippers. We're not going to have a shot at him. Let's trade for Butler. Let's not go into free agency again with no guarantees. Let's make a trade, get Butler in, have him for the rest of the season, have the chance to re-sign him to a max deal, see if we can make this trio work. I think it makes a lot of sense for the Sixers on all those fronts. Now, obviously, they're going to need shooting. They're going to need depth. The rest of their roster, there are a lot of questions. And the fit, will Simmons, Embiid, and Butler mesh? You know, especially Embiid and Butler, those are two very big personalities, but given the options Philly had, I love that they did something now instead of waiting.
We're talking to Mark Stein. Mark, one more thought about what happened in Minneapolis or Minnesota. I mean, Butler made it very clear that he did not want to re-sign in Minnesota. How much of that was about the money, and then how much of that was about his relationship with Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins?
I don't want to sit here and say the money wasn't an element, because obviously money is always a factor. But I think if Jimmy would have said, I want to stay here, he would have gotten a max deal in the summer. You know, they offered him an extension as soon as they were allowed to in July, but that number was based on Jimmy's current salary. And by going to free agency, he has a chance to make a lot more. The most they could offer him in an extension was about $100 million. He can make $190 million as a max free agent next summer. So if everything was going well there, I don't see why Butler wouldn't have gotten his money. But I think clearly he didn't want to play with Towns and Wiggins anymore. I think he wanted a bigger stage. I think he wanted to be around players that he thought could get him into the title contention mix. with more assurances than Minnesota could offer. But, you know, it's a stunning turnaround for, you know, he came at, you know, Tom Thibodeau gambled everything to get him, gave up a big package to get him. They make the playoffs. They end this huge playoff drought with him. And for it to be over this quickly is stunning.
Mark Stein joining us. It is stunning. And then you've got the story of Carmelo Anthony. In fact, you have the story of Carmelo Anthony. You tweeted that on Friday afternoon, Houston announced details of a Carmelo Anthony Foundation event scheduled for Wednesday. On Saturday night, there are questions circulating league-wide about whether Thursday's loss at Oklahoma City was Anthony's last game is a Rocket, quote, end of quote. So he didn't play Mark on Saturday or Sunday. Where do things stand with the Rockets and Melo?
Well, look, the Rockets strenuously insist that he's still a member of the team. But I have at least two sources close to this situation who've insisted to me that Anthony's already been told that his time with the team will be ending in the near future. After the game, you saw ESPN, after their game last night, ESPN's Tim McMahon reported that, you know, based on the people he's talking to within the organization, people are operating under the assumption that Carmelo Anthony has played his last game in Oklahoma City, for the Houston Rockets. I would say around the league and around the Rockets, that is the expectation. Nobody expects this to continue, but Daryl Morey did come out and hold a little media availability yesterday and insist that the Rockets are not ready to move away from him. So I think we'll just have to see how this plays out. But everybody around this situation is saying it's over and that the Rockets are going to go in a different direction. So that, I think, is still the expectation. Let's see how it plays out. The Rockets left for Denver. They play the Nuggets tomorrow night. And Carmelo Anthony is not on the trip. So he played Thursday, he practiced Friday, and now he's not with the team.
All right, so if that's how that plays out, Mark,
we'll have to wait and see.
If that's how that plays out, excuse me, what were the Rockets expecting with the addition of Melo, and why has it not worked out?
Well, the one thing I do agree with what Daryl Morey was saying yesterday, I do think Carmelo has been unfairly scapegoated for Houston's problems. I mean, he is by no means the sole reason that they got off to a 4-7 start. I mean, their offense, which was one of the most potent in league history last season, I mean, was down at the bottom of the league until their last couple games. And, you know, that they've had the suspensions, they've had injuries, a lot of guys there just not playing up to their level. You know, Chris Paul's been playing with a bad elbow when he wasn't suspended. Harden hasn't been anywhere near his MVP form until last night's home win over Indiana. So there are a lot of things going wrong there. And it isn't right to just put this on Carmelo. But I think what's really happening here is Gary Clark is on a two-way contract and has really emerged as a guy that Mike D'Antoni loves and fits the Houston style probably better than Carmelo does. And, you know, he's going to get more minutes now. That would mean a diminished role for Carmelo Anthony. How is that going to sit with Carmelo? It was, you know, they already had to sell him on, look, if you come here, we need you to be the sixth man. Carmelo agreed to that. He didn't want to do that in Oklahoma City. He's been willing to be the sixth man there. But if he does stay, it sounds like his minutes are going to be way, way down. So there's really just no role for him right now, and I think that's kind of what's leading to all this.
Well, so, and then finally, is there a role for him someplace else, or could this be the end of the road for him?
That's the obvious question, and looking at it right now, it's hard to see where he would land, who would go after him. I have yet to hear of confirmed interest out there from another team. I know Philadelphia has been suggested because the Sixers do have holes in their roster after the trade and do need shooting, but it's going to be very interesting. If this thing is falling apart with Houston, he might not have another option, which is hard to believe since he's only 34. But, you know, this it's been trending in this direction for some time now. I mean, he's an ISO. He's thrived his whole career in ISO heavy offenses, and teams in the NBA don't play that way anymore. So this might be it.
Mark Stein, my guest. Mark, one last stop before you go. Beating the Hawks. Granted, they are the Hawks, but The Lakers beat the Hawks. They're now one game over 500. I've got to get your thoughts. How would you describe what you've seen from the Lakers so far this year?
Well, the biggest thing is Tyson Chandler has, you know, I had a front row seat for Tyson Chandler being the basically the goalie, the defensive anchor on the Mavericks championship team in 2011. So I've seen Tyson Chandler at his best, and I'm a big fan of Tyson Chandler, but I certainly didn't think he would be able to have this immediate impact that he has had. And I mean, that already looks like a fantastic pickup that has really helped the Lakers on the defensive end, where they, you know, their two big areas of concern, obviously shooting like Philly, but also defense. And, you know, I think people look at Chandler's age and say 36, how much did he really have left? But, you know, I talked to one coach in the league last week who told me Chandler's going to keep doing this because, you know, these last 4 years in Phoenix have not been taxing on his body. I mean, there were long stretches where they rested him, and, you know, last season the Suns were openly tanking and Chandler didn't even play. So the Lakers, that would seem like a small move, is a big deal. And, you know, in the West, you can't get any further in the hole. Like, they got off to the rough start. I mean, the West is so deep. If the Lakers want to make the playoffs, they needed to do something early, and I think they found a nice little answer.
In the West, it does get late very early indeed. Mark Stein covers the NBA for the New York Times. Also, the pride and joy of Cal State Fullerton. Mark, great job. Always good to have you on the program. Thanks for closing the show for us.
Sounds good, man.
Great talking to you. Mark Stein. And that is going to close the show. Huge call today.